from Isaiah chapter 6. And we rise up on our tiptoes as we say, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot. Holy, holy, holy. God is the most infinitely holy aspect of holiness in the universe. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And that blessing also concludes with a Baruch Atah. It ends with Baruch Atah Adonai Ha'el HaKadosh. Blessed are you, Lord, the Holy God. This blessing is about the present. God's dwelling in present, in his present holiness, dwelling right now. The Lord will reign. It says, your name is holy. You are holy, and holy ones proclaim your praise every day. Right now, present, God is reigning in holiness, and we declare his holiness every day. The first three blessings dealing with the past, the future, and the present. This is actually from an essay by former chief rabbi of Great Britain, whose name was Hertz, Rabbi Hertz. And I bring this up basically as to do a couple things, to introduce exactly and remind us of the outline of the Amidah in terms of the blessings. So by the way, look for that when you're reciting the Amidah. Every blessing ends by saying, blessed are you, Lord, who does something. And this is also a way to introduce our passage from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, having talked about blessings, blessing God, for instance, in the past, the future, and the present, listen to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Messiah. He chose us in Messiah before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. Paul is making a bracha. In Hebrew, we'd say, Baruch HaElohim. Avi Adonainu Yeshua HaMashiach. Blessed is God, the Father of Adonainu, our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach. Paul is taking a form within his Jewish culture, and he is applying it in a thanksgiving and a prayer to the people he is writing to at Ephesus. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Messiah Yeshua. Listen, as I read this passage, listen for the ways that it is expressed both in the future. We're blessing God for something in the future. We're blessing God for something in the past. And Paul is blessing God for something in the present. Just like in the first three blessings of the Amidah, we have the past, the future, and the present. So in this passage, we have the past, the future, and the present. He chose us in Messiah, Yeshua, before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption as sons through Messiah Yeshua, in keeping with the good pleasure of his will, to the glorious praise of his grace, which he favored us through the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the removal of trespasses in keeping with the richness of his grace that he lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, he made known to us the mystery of his will, in keeping with his good pleasure that he planned in the Messiah. The plan of the fullness of time is to bring all things together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth, everything in him. In him, we were also made heirs, predestined according to his plan. He keeps working all things out according to the purpose of his will, so that we, who were first to put hope in the Messiah, might be for his glorious praise. There are aspects there in blessing God. Paul is making a bracha for some things that God has done in the past, things that God will do in the future, and things that God is doing in the present. And I will only begin here to unpack some of the amazing aspects of this blessing, this Jewish blessing that Rav Shaul has penned and that we have for us. First of all, note that he says, Baruch Ha Elohim, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Yeshua, who has done something, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We have the responsibility, just as two of you mentioned just a couple minutes ago, we have a responsibility to bless God because he has blessed us. We are literally stealing the blessings that God has given to us if we don't in turn declare our praise, our thanksgiving, our blessing to him. Indeed, as I've shared before from Psalm 40, it talks about how God has lifted the poet out of the pit, out of the muck and the mire, and placed his feet on a solid rock. And he goes on to say, my mouth will declare, God, what you have done. And I've argued that his transformation out of the pit to standing on the rock is not complete until he gives blessing to God, so in Psalm 40. So Paul, in the same way here, blessed be God. We're not just throwing attributes at God, praises at God, but they're grounded in what he has done for us. And so we reciprocate by blessing and praising him. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Our life, he's going to go on later to argue that we experience the richness of his grace. It reminds me of Psalm 63, where David says, my mouth will sing the richness, the sweetness of your life. As long as I live, my mouth will declare your praise. Life is for blessing God, and his blessings are for life. He's given us every blessing that we need. Every spiritual blessings he has blessed us with. And so Rabbi Paul begins to delineate these blessings. He chose us in Messiah. He chose us in Messiah. In our liturgy, in the blessing before the Shema, which is not actually, which is drawn from thoughts in Scripture, but it's not actually a quote from Scripture, but it talks about how he has chosen Israel and he will bring us back and regather us and bring us into the land so that we can praise him and declare his oneness. He has chosen us. Indeed, this thought comes right out of one of the Psalms that we read earlier at the beginning of the service. He has chosen his people. But Rav Shaul says something very interesting. He's chosen us from the foundation of the world. Before creation, before any of these things in Bereshit that we've been talking about and hearing read from the Torah scroll this week and last week in the creation story, before these things were done, God did other things. We don't read about them in Genesis, but we read about them, for instance, here. God has chosen us in Messiah before the foundation of the world. In the Psalms, my wife and I last night were reading from Psalm 90, which is the song of Moses, the psalm that he wrote. It says, before he formed the mountains, literally, before the mountains were birthed, is what the Hebrew literally says. Before God gave birth to the mountains, from everlasting to everlasting, the Hebrew is me'olam va'ad olam, ata'el, ata'el, you are God. According to Moses, something that happened before creation was that God was God. Before the mountains were born, before creation, Psalm 90 says that God did something. Simply that he was God. So there's an example in the Tanakh of something that was done, something that was established before creation. God established himself as king, as judge, as ruler before the birth of the mountains, before creation. In Jewish tradition, in the Mishnah, it's said that God did other things before creation or during creation. For instance, God created the rainbow. God created the manna that he would send for his people Israel in the wilderness. God created the water well that would provide water for Israel in the wilderness. It even says that God created that opening in the earth that later swallowed Korah in Bamidbar when the mafiosos rose up against Moses. And God had this mouth. It says the earth opened its mouth, very expressive language, and swallowed Korah. That fissure, that open in the mouth, was said to have been established before creation. According to Rav Shaul, God did something different at the time of creation. He chose creation. us. In Messiah, he chose us. It makes you put creation in a different vantage point. We come to recognize that we were not made for creation, but creation was made for us. What came first in God's thought? His people, Israel, or creation? According to Rav Shaul here, God's people came first. Creation was established for us, for God's people, because it happened before creation. Creation followed his choosing of us. I think some of that plays into Yeshua's discussion of, was Sabbath made for man, or was man made for the Sabbath? So I think there's some insight given to Yeshua's words there in Mark chapter 3. But why did he choose us before creation? Why did God choose us? And a typical answer that you're going to get from some believers, some followers of the Messiah of Israel, is that, well, we're chosen to be saved. God chose us, God elected us, is kind of how you'll sometimes hear the language put. God elected us so that we would have salvation, because God elects some and he doesn't elect others, which is a perspective in a certain theological framework that isn't supported by the Jewishness of the scriptures, because it isn't understanding who us is in this text, actually. But why did God choose us? It's interesting that Rav Shaul doesn't say, well, we were chosen so that we'd be saved, so we go to heaven when we die. Although that's the popular understanding. He says, he chose us in Messiah from the foundation of the world to be holy. God chose us to be holy, to be set apart, to be special to himself, to be special in purpose and identity. He chose us to be holy. Note that when Israel came out of Egypt, God at that point redeemed them, rescued them, saved them, if you will. Then he brought them to Mount Sinai and said, you are my holy people, so be holy as I am holy. Holiness follows this selection as God's people. In other words, the Torah puts more weight on holiness than it does on what we might call salvation. In the Torah, it simply assumes that Israel is God's redeemed people. And now that you're God's redeemed people, what do you do with that? Here, Rav Shaul is mimicking that from the book of Exodus and Leviticus. God chose us not just to have salvation, but that salvation, that chosenness, that has a purpose. We have a destiny to be holy. In the plural, by the way, Remember last week, I touched on the fact that holiness exists usually and almost always in community with each other. He chose us to be holy, to be set apart, is what holy means, for God's purposes, for God's will that he desires in the earth. But then there's a corollary here to holiness: blameless, without blame, without defect. Rav Shaul here literally is taking the words of, again, Torah, and applying them to the people that he's addressing. You are to be holy and blameless, without defect, like the sacrifices that would be offered to the Most High in worship in ancient Israel. You are to be holy, you're to be blameless like those sacrifices, without any blemish, without any defect. Rav Shaul marks this in a number of ways and tells us how it can happen. He says, first, this happens in Messiah. In Messiah, we are called to be holy and without defect. In myself, gosh, that doesn't happen. In our community, even, that's not going to happen unless we are submerged, unless that is found in the context, in the life, in the power, in the Messiah himself. He's chosen us from the foundation of the world in Messiah to be holy. And then this little phrase, before him. We're holy, chosen in Messiah to stand before God. Is it possible, as Rav Shaul makes the point of elsewhere, that when God sees us, he sees Messiah with us or in us? So there we are. We're chosen to be holy, not just saved, but to be holy. But it's in Messiah as we are before him, meaning God. So there we are. We're before God. We're standing in front of him. And our holiness is enabled because of our proximity to God. In Hebrew, the word before or in front of is literally to the face of the other. Lifne. Pene is face. To be in front of something in Hebrew means that you are face to face. And God has chosen us to be holy in Messiah, face to face with God. Again, this is how we learn to be holy, by mirroring the Most High, by finding ourselves standing in his presence. David says in Psalm 16, know who it is before whom you stand. Know who you're standing in front of. Sometimes that phrase is inscribed on on a Torah ark are on the curtain that's inside the doors of a Torah ark. Know whom you are standing in front of. It's from Psalm chapter 16. By the way, there's a contemporary music composer that took that little phrase and made a, he's a minimalist composer. I can give you the details. He made it into a very unique music composition, vocal composition, as he broke down each of the syllables in Hebrew and layered them on top of each other. Know who you are standing in front of, and as you mirror him face to face, our lives in Messiah begin to reflect God's holiness. He's chosen us for this before he created anything. And then finally, all this happens in love. In love. The last phrase of that verse, he chose us before the creation of the world in Messiah to be not only holy, but even without defect, blameless, in love. In the book of Ephesians, when Paul is here going to speak of love, it's usually not God's love, it's usually our love for each other. Later in chapter 4, he's going to talk about be tender-hearted toward one another, forgiving one another, loving one another, just as God has loved us, but we respond to that by growing in holiness and blamelessness by loving each other. Holiness grows in and through our love in community for each other. It will not grow where there's division. It will not grow where there's stress and ambivalence, competing attitudes. It grows in a place that nurtures a responsiveness, a love for each other. We're chosen for this. And so Paul says, this is the spiritual blessings that he has given to us. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in that he has chosen us to be holy and blameless. He's chosen us before he created anything else. He's chosen us to be holy and blameless as we stand in Messiah before him, face to face. And he's chosen us to walk in this holiness through love for each other. This passage, these verses here, are rich. I don't know how to cover all these verses in a single drash, but I pray that this blessing that Paul makes to God about what God has done for us, that we would see that how we our lives are growing and being enriched in these very ways. That you would recognize how God has blessed you with the spiritual blessings. He has chosen you to be holy. He's chosen us to do that in love. Let's be encouraged. Messiah enables us to have these blessings in our lives. Let's be excited and enriched and enlivened as we move forward in the blessings that God has made for us and as we bless Him in response.